Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. News.
The Czech Republic will draw 35.7 billion euros from the EU budget after leaders struck a deal. The Interior Minister has ruled out people being able to vote in October if they are in quarantine. And a new film about Václav Havel gets its premiere in Prague. The Czech Republic will draw 35.7 billion euros from the European Union budget in the next 7 years, following agreement on a huge post-coronavirus recovery package. The figure was revealed by Czech Prime Minister Andrej Babiš after a fourth night of talks in Brussels. In addition, the Czech Republic will be able to access up to 15.4 billion euros in low-interest loans. Mr. Babiš described the outcome of the EU summit as good for the Czech Republic. He said the flexibility of money transfers between different EU funds would increase compared to the current budget period, and that this was crucial for the country. The Czech Republic stands to receive nearly 4 billion euros more between 2021 and 2027 than under the present seven-year budget. The Minister of the Interior, Jan Hamáček, says it's not possible to make changes before regional and Senate elections in October that would allow people to vote when in quarantine, while also limiting the risk of spreading COVID-19. Mr. Hamáček told iRozhlas.cz that ballot boxes may not be sent to those isolated for health reasons, as this could lead to election commission members becoming infected. Markéta Pekarová-Adamová of the opposition Topo 9 party said she'd repeatedly advocated for postal voting and that the government should find a way to guarantee citizens the right to vote. Mr. Hamáček said it wasn't possible to introduce such legislation by October and that it wouldn't resolve the situation in any case. Latvia and Estonia have placed the Czech Republic back on their lists of safe countries in terms of the risk of COVID-19, and Czechs can now travel freely to both, the Czech Minister of Foreign Affairs, Tomáš Petříček, said on Tuesday. Mr. Petříček said there were no signs any states were considering classifying the Czech Republic as a risk country. In the EU, Czechs only face restrictions when travelling to Cyprus, where they must show a negative coronavirus test. A new film about the late Czech dissident-turned-president Václav Havel is set for a gala premiere in Prague on Tuesday evening. The movie, simply entitled Havel, stars Viktor Dvořák as the democracy leader and Anna Geislerová as his wife Olga Havlova. The biopic, directed by Slavek Horák, is one of the first new Czech films to be released since the coronavirus crisis began, and it will enter cinema distribution on Thursday. The Czech footballer Tomáš Souček has joined English Premier League club West Ham United from Slavia Prague. The midfielder has scored 3 goals for West Ham since signing in January on a loan deal with an option to buy if the club were not relegated. The total price the Hammers are paying for Souček is 513 million crowns, which makes him the most expensive signing from the Czech league ever. And finally, the weather forecast. It should be mainly sunny in the Czech Republic on Wednesday, with daytime highs of up to 23 degrees Celsius. Similar temperatures are expected over the following week, though it will be mainly overcast. My name is Ian Willoughby, and that is the end of the news.
Hello and a very warm welcome. You are tuned to Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Public Radio. My name is Brian Kennedy. Coming up in today's program, the Czech Prime Minister says the hard-fought EU recovery deal will help the country greatly, both directly and indirectly. Czechs can once again travel freely to the Baltic states of Estonia and Latvia, while reciprocal agreements with Tunisia and others may soon follow. And we learn about a lesser-known aspect of the work of the great Czech writer Karel Čapek, his travel writing. All that's coming up now, so please stay tuned. Prime Minister Andrej Babiš has hailed the hard-won EU recovery deal as an important signal for the future of the bloc. The Czech head of government had pushed to downsize the grants part of the aid package and change the criteria according to which the money will be distributed. Mr. Babiš said the outcome would benefit the Czech Republic both directly and indirectly by helping to revitalize the European economy. Daniela Lazarova has more.
At the end of a grueling four-day marathon in Brussels, the Czech Prime Minister emerged to tell the media he was happy with the outcome of the negotiations.
I'm very glad that the member states were able to agree on a compromise. Given the economic disparities and individual priorities, this was not easy, and the fact that a deal was reached is an important signal for the future of the EU, an important signal for financial markets. We have shown that we are able to reach agreement and show solidarity, that we have a common interest in securing the prosperity of individual EU member states.
Well, like all EU leaders at the summit, the Prime Minister fought to increase the benefits for the Czech Republic and argued against excessive debt. He had a vested interest in seeing a deal that would revitalize the European economy post-coronavirus. With over 80% of Czech exports going to EU member states, anything else would have a devastating impact on the export-dependent Czech economy. Having said that, Mr. Babiš expressed understanding for the frugal four, Sweden, Denmark, Austria and the Netherlands, who were concerned about excessive debt and pushed for the countries hardest hit by the pandemic to be helped mainly by loans rather than non-repayable grants. He too welcomed the compromise that downsized the grants part of the recovery fund from 500 to 390 billion euros. 360 billion will be available in loans. Mr. Babiš said that even though this lowered the contribution to all member states, he was happy with the conditions agreed on.
The Czech Republic has come out of these negotiations extremely well. We managed to negotiate an extra 1.55 billion euros. That's 42 billion Czech crowns extra from the EU cohesion funds, which we consider a big priority because they relate to investments. Moreover, the Czech Republic alone got the advantage of being able to transfer 25% of the funds between chapters, meaning that we will have greater freedom in deciding how the money will be used. Back in 2018, it was only 5%.
Under the agreement reached, the Czech Republic should receive 35.7 billion euros, that's over 960 billion crowns from the EU budget in the course of the next 7 years. It will be able to borrow another 15.4 billion euros under favourable terms. Whether or not the country will make use of the latter will depend largely on the conditions under which the European Commission will borrow the funds on international markets. Mr. Babiš said the next step will be for the Czech government to present the European Commission with a plan for economic reform, which is one of the conditions for the country to be able to draw the money available. The EU recovery plan will now have to pass a vote in the European Parliament and be ratified by all member states.
Daniela Lazarova with that report. Now, Latvia and Estonia have placed the Czech Republic back on their list of coronavirus safe states. This means that Czechs can again travel to these countries without having to go into quarantine, Foreign Minister Tomáš Petříček announced on Tuesday. Negotiations on a reciprocal travel agreement with Tunisia are underway and may soon be launched with Georgia. But Egypt and Turkey remain unsafe in the eyes of the Czech Foreign Ministry. Tom McEncroe has the details.
Both Latvia and Estonia placed the Czech Republic on their lists of medium-risk states at the beginning of July. It meant that any Czech traveller to the two Baltic states had to undertake a two-week-long quarantine upon entering the countries, even if they produced a negative coronavirus test. This has now changed. Foreign Minister Tomáš Petříček announced at a press conference on Tuesday morning.
Latvia and Estonia have placed us back on their lists of safe states. Travel to both countries is now possible without limitations. Right now, we have no signal that any EU member state is considering placing the Czech Republic outside its list of safe states.
The only EU country which has not yet removed travel restrictions for Czech travellers is Cyprus, where a negative COVID-19 test is still compulsory. While the precautions on the Mediterranean island may complicate travel for some tourists, many more are likely disappointed about the ongoing restrictions when it comes to travelling to Turkey and Egypt, which attracted no less than 558,000 Czechs last year, according to the country's statistics agency. Neither country is yet considered safe by the Czech Foreign Ministry, and this is unlikely to change any time soon, Mr. Petříček said.
In the case of Turkey and Egypt, I would ask for more patience. These countries are not on the joint EU list, and the whole procedure depends on the epidemiological situation in these countries and its development. We have our doubts as to the intensity of testing and the way in which statistics portray the situation there.
However, there is cause for optimism when it comes to Tunisia, and not just for Czech tourists, but those from the North African state as well, according to Mr. Petříček.
Tunisia is among the list of states deemed safe by the European Union. We are currently in intense negotiations with Tunisia regarding a reciprocal agreement wherein the Czech Republic would be placed on its list of safe countries, and this could also lead us to adjusting our national list of safe states for travel. I believe this situation could be resolved in the coming weeks.
Georgia is another non-EU state with which the Czech Republic is considering similar negotiations, depending on the development of the local epidemiological situation. Currently, the Czech Republic accepts non-EU travellers from Montenegro, Serbia, Thailand, Canada, New Zealand, Japan, and South Korea. The European Union has also classified Algeria, Australia, Georgia, Morocco, Rwanda, and Uruguay as safe countries, with which member states should gradually lift travel restrictions.
Tom McEncroe reporting. Just a reminder that you are tuned to Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio, where it's now time for our main feature. In this edition of One on One, Ian Willoughby's guest is Mirna Solic, author of In Search of a Shared Expression, Karol Čapek's Travel Writing and Imaginative Geography of Europe.
Karel Čapek was a leading Czech interwar novelist, playwright and journalist, and is perhaps most remembered for works of science fiction, such as The War with the Newts and RUR, which famously gave the world the word robot. But did you know that Čapek was also a travel writer? His pieces from around Europe are the focus of the book In Search of a Shared Expression by Mirna Solic, a lecturer at the School of Modern Languages and Cultures at the University of Glasgow. I spoke to her on the phone from Scotland. My first question is, obviously, Čapek is known as a playwright, a novelist and a journalist, but your book focuses on his travel writing. How much travel writing did he do?
Actually, he did quite a lot of travel writing, and as I stated in my book, his main opus, which is, as you mentioned, is, you know, fiction and plays and everything which is known internationally. That was done mainly, you know, from 1914 to 1938. So his travel writing also stretches throughout that period. So he wrote his travel book or travel narrative to Italy. He was in England and Scotland. And interestingly enough, he talks about England and Scotland separately. Then there is also a travel book from Spain and as well from Holland. And then he went to Scandinavian countries. But if you look at his opus more closely, then you will find that there are also many travel elements in his main novels and also his plays as well. So the travel writing is basically, I think, all across his opus.
And was his travel writing coming out mainly as books or also as articles in Czech newspapers or magazines?
He first started publishing his travel pieces in Czech newspapers because he worked for Lidové noviny. And then later on, he published these as travel books because, for instance, when he traveled to England and to Scotland, he traveled at the invitation of Penn. And then he published articles, and then later on, these were published as a book as a separate book, yes.
And what sense do the books give us as to what kind of a traveller he was? Because I know he was in poor health for a lot of his life.
He was, and then I actually read some correspondence between him and Olga Scheinflugova, his wife. When he went to Italy, he wrote a lot to her about his Italian experience, and he actually mentions that he went to Italy in order to work on his other books, that he was quite, I don't know if I should say depressed, but mentally he was really unwell, so going to Italy was something that gave him another perspective. So I can't really comment on how difficult for him it was physically, but I think for him also going abroad was really to gain some, you know, the perspective on life and also on the conditions in his own country. So he reflected, I think, a lot on the Czechoslovakia also from being abroad.
And what was his aim with his travel writing? Was he kind of didactic, trying to kind of teach the reader something, or was he entertaining them?
I think it was both. It was very didactic because at that time, what he was actually searching for, and this is what I'm writing about in my book, was the search for the so-called primitive undercurrent, because that was the time of the avant-garde movement, of also avant-garde inspiration for what was known as the primitivism. So many West European writers were traveling to distant countries and to exotic destinations, and that was some sort of a response to the First World War, because they were, so to say, searching for home. But for Čapek, I think because, you know, he was so much engaged with this idea of the First Czechoslovak Republic, for him it was really to go to other European countries and to see what is that the Czechoslovakia shares with them in terms of arts, in terms of literature, in terms of cultural origins, so to say, and cultural identity. So it was didactic, but it was also, I would say, aesthetic, because his travel pieces are very poetic. He also uses a lot of illustrations, which I find incredibly interesting. So these illustrations should be also treated as the part of the travel narrative.
I know also he was a keen photographer, amateur photographer. Do any of the photos from his travels, are they still with us, or were they used at that time?
Unfortunately not, and when I was in the archives a long time ago, that was in early 2000s, I actually found some of his photographs from his travels, but they're mainly related to his travel to Scandinavia, because he was there with his wife Olga Scheinflugova. They went on a honeymoon, so there were some photos of them, but unfortunately, no, he didn't use any of them in his travel pieces, only illustrations which he drew.
You say in your book that his travel writing was, and I quote, innovative and unique. In what sense was it those things?
It was very much unique because he merged very much visual arts and also the text, because as I said, he drew a lot of illustrations, and when you look at his illustrations, they correspond to the text very much, or they even challenge the text. So they make the text very experimental, which is very much, I think, again, in accordance with the avant-garde poetics of the period. And then when you look at the scholarship about travel writing, not really many people deal with illustrations, because they're always considered something obvious, something that is supposed to be there, something maybe childish or, you know, childlike. But the text itself is quite, I would say, poetical, many times fragmented. There are also many interactions between the visual and the textual part. And in this way, I think what Čapek is doing is that he's following this, you know, the Western European poetics of the period, and what many other travel writers were doing as well. So they were combining the visual arts and the textual element, so the traditional travel writing, so to say.
One fact that absolutely jumped out at me in the book was that the Czechoslovak Ministry of Foreign Affairs generously funded Čapek's travels. Why did they do that?
Well, I didn't do a lot of research about that. I think Andrea Orzov, who is a Czech scholar, historian from Oxford, did something about it. I think it was because, you know, at that time, the first Czechoslovak Republic emerged after the First World War, and it was the time when, you know, the Czechs and Slovaks got some sense of their own national identity. So I think if you wanted to promote your country abroad, then you should also promote your culture, you should also promote your literature and arts in general. And there were many exhibitions abroad which were actually funded, you know, partially or fully by the Czechoslovak Foreign Ministry. So this is, I think, why also Čapek was generously supported on his travels
by the
Czechoslovak government.
It was a kind of cultural diplomacy that he was engaged in.
Absolutely. So this was a time of cultural diplomacy, because I think the first Czechoslovak government was really trying to position Czechoslovakia on the map of Europe, not only in political terms, but also in cultural terms. So, you know, the Czechs and Slovaks had to actually show what they have and what is, you know, what is it that they actually share with Europe. So when Čapek traveled, as I said, he was really looking for these artistic undercurrents. And even, for instance, when he goes to Spain, then he notices, you know, the cultural heritage from the time of the Habsburg monarchy. And then he says, well, this is something which I saw in my own country. This is something that we share. So we all belong to this big, you know, community of nations.
And what sense do you get from his travel writing of his own relationship to Europe?
I think he would be very much against Brexit if he lived in the 21st century. I think that he was, you know, when people talk about him, scholars and, you know, the readers alike, then we all like to talk about Čapek in terms of him being an anti-fascist, which he definitely he was. So all of his works have a very strong political message. But I actually think that he appreciated European cultures very much. He appreciated European literatures very much. And he was trying to show that the Czech culture and literature is also European because, you know, because of its language and because of its heritage, it can just be the same as any other developed European country. So there was a big, big, big appreciation. And it's quite interesting, if you read his travels to Scandinavia, then he was actually going there to find out what it is that makes the so-called Germanic race anti-fascist. It was his reaction, so to say, to the Second World War, which was on the horizon. So he was looking for the positive traits of all European cultures and nations.
And does he write anything concrete about specific encounters with the then, I guess, emerging fascism?
He does mention in Italy, he actually mentions fascist marches. He sees people in black uniforms, and he ridicules that. And then when he goes to Scandinavia, he has some remarks about, you know, the purpose of his travel to go and to, now I can't really quote it verbatim, but he's actually saying that he is going there really to find out what is it that makes this Germanic race great? Not the fascism, but all other things. So there is fascism, or, you know, this anti-fascist message implied in his travel writings as well.
As well as his books of travel writing from around the continent and from the UK, he also wrote, mm-hmm. or rather, there was also a book of his travel writing from Czechoslovakia that came out after his death. Can you tell us anything mm-hmm. about that collection?
Yeah, that is quite interesting because he was traveling a lot through Czechoslovakia and particularly through Slovakia as well. And he wrote short travel pieces, which I think were also collected or published in the newspapers. But then later on, they were posthumously published as a collection. And when you read them, when you compare them with the main travel opus, and it is quite visible that he actually constructed these Czechoslovak landscapes and people and everything he saw according to what he saw in other European countries. So there are many similarities, for instance, between description of Scotland and descriptions of Tatry in Slovakia. There are many references to visual arts, which are almost the same, just like in his main travel writing opus. But then that collection was also edited, and I think at that time it was also used, you know, in the context of rehabilitation of Čapek as being a socialist writer, somebody who really loved his country. So it is also, I think, another very important dimension of his, of the reception of his travel opus after the Second World War.
And of course, he couldn't argue because he'd been dead for like 15 years or something.
Exactly, exactly.
And tell us, how well does this writing stand up, or how interesting is it today to read his travel writing, I don't know, like 90 years after it was written?
I still think it is quite relevant. His travel pieces are still being published, and there was just, I think, the latest edition of his travels to England and Scotland was published just a few years back, and our students also like it very much. We even had some essays written about his travel writing and his work in general. And because we do it in a comparative way, which means that we do not teach Czech literature only, but we do Czech literature and culture within European culture and then within global literatures and cultures, then it actually becomes very relevant and interesting, because then you can make comparisons, you can draw links between different influences, different cultural traditions and different cultural heritages. And in this way, I think Čapek's work is still relevant today because, as you know, many things that he wrote at that time are still relevant now. For instance, The War with the Newts, which is also based, I would say, partially on travel writing tradition, which is the British colonial travel writing, is still very relevant today, especially the story of invasion, which comes from the travel writing tradition.
That was Mirna Solic, a lecturer at the University of Glasgow, talking to our own Ian Willoughby. It first aired in February. That report also brings us to the end of our program. If you tune in late, don't worry. The full broadcast is on our webpage at radio.cz. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and invite you to follow us there. If you have any questions or comments, please do get in touch. Our email address is english@radio.cz. Meanwhile, for me, Brian Kennedy, and the entire Radio Prague International team, thanks for listening, and goodbye for now.